The sermon this evening comes from Ephesians chapter 4. I'll start the reading at verse 1. Please join me there. Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they, having become callous, having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Here ends the reading of God's Word. I grew up in rural Ohio, where football was king. If you didn't play football, you weren't much of anything. And I didn't play football. So I wasn't much of anything. My father wished I'd play football. All my uncles wished that I would play football. And my brother played football. I was happier climbing trees in the summertime. Well, as this idea went on, they spent all this time with the football players. We went to Jefferson Union, and we were the Jefferson Union Yellow Jackets. And they taught us that the Yellow Jackets were the absolute best team in the world. Didn't matter if you won or not, but we were the best. And they beat this into us, J-U, Jefferson Union, J-U, J-U, J-U. And there was another school down the road, and it was Springfield, and they were the Tigers. And they did the same thing with the Tigers. They just beat it into their mind, P-U-J-U. That was their chant. And that the Tigers were the best. Didn't matter if they won or lost, the Tigers were the best. Well, that went fine unless you ran into each other at the pizza shop and then there would be a fist fight because we were Yellow Jackets and they were the Tigers. Well, eventually the school districts ran out of money and they consolidated schools. And the next thing we knew, we had Yellow Jackets playing football with Tigers. You would not believe the number of fist fights that took place between Yellow Jackets and Tigers. It was ridiculous. They put us on football teams together where we were expected to block for one another. And we wouldn't. And we would just step aside and watch a tiger get nailed. And as far as our training had gone, that was good. And that was appropriate. Didn't matter if you won or lost, long as tigers were getting stomped on. Well, in our lives, we had this problem that's been ingrained into us, as if we were raised Yellow Jackets or we were raised Tigers. And that idea that is in us, it's this old man that's in us, where we have this sense that we deserve dignity, where we deserve respect, where we imagine that our plans and our goals and our vision is the vision. This is why we have fights. This is why we don't get along. We can take any two people in this room, born again, spirit-filled, people of God, and there's going to be some key issue that we disagree on, possibly to the point where we're ready to die for it. And whatever that battle is, somewhere, one of us, possibly both of us, have diverged from the Word of God. We don't have our thinking right. Our old mans are fighting with one another and devouring one another. But we see in the passages here that it is the Word of Christ, it is having the mind of Christ, and as we do this, as we put these things on, we come to a place where somehow we are moving towards peace in our relationships as individuals, within our marriages, within our congregations, and between our congregations. Now, the scripture here, it calls us, it says, be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Be diligent. But our old man, the old man within us, hates that idea. We don't want to preserve the unity of the bond of peace. We want what we want. We want our vision. We want our plan. We want our goals. But here, and I hope you're hearing this, as individuals, as spouses, as sessions, be diligent to preserve, or to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace. Now, our first step is to fall back to the reality of who you are now. who you are now. Paul starts in Ephesians 4. He says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. He's saying, that old stuff that you were, if you were a yellow jacket, or if you were a tiger, whatever you were before, you've been called out of that and you've been put into a new place. Now this idea of wrestling for unity, it's a difficult one. I started wrestling with this when I was first saved and I was first in the church. In the church that I was in, anything went. Whatever somebody wanted to do, they could do. They could go to the church board and say, I feel led, and play their I feel led card. And if somebody felt led, nobody could come against it. They did whatever they wanted to do. People would actually come and say, I feel led to do a youth retreat, and I need $2,000 for it. And everybody would say, oh, well, I guess if they feel led, who are we to argue? Now, this idea of feeling led, or this idea of having unity, we have come to the question, unity at what cost? If we came to the point and we took a vote right now, and the majority of us wanted to have a Congo line in worship, do we do that for the sake of unity? Well, where does unity for the church come from? Unity for the church comes from pursuing the Word of God. Looking at what God has said. Doing what God has said. This is our unity in the with the mind of Christ. Putting on the mind of Christ. Now we'll have our battles and we'll still have our fights. We will not always agree on what Christ wants for us. But when we look at what Christ has accomplished, and He speaks in the terms being worthy of the calling by which you have been called. In Ephesians 5:8 it says, for you formerly were darkness, but now you are light in the world, light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now what does that mean, to walk as children of light? Well, the Scripture, it speaks of the terms of the works of the flesh in Galatians 5:19. And listen to how these apply to this idea. There's enmity, that's a conflict, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, and envy. Those are the works of the flesh. So this idea, the Scripture talks about love. And the idea with love is, love doesn't seek its own. The idea with love is, it doesn't keep account of wrong suffered. So we move from the place where we're just dealing with the works of the church and what we would see the church do, to the ways that we respond to one another when we are wronged. The ways that we love in that. We don't like that. We would much rather take a self-righteous posture and say, I am standing for Scripture. You're wrong, so I get to hate you. You are one of them. You are they. Scripture never gives us that license. God never puts us in the place where we are able to stand that way with these divisions and these factions, where we're able to stand against one another. But we suffer wrongs done to ourselves. And this is the idea of where this peace comes from. That in the midst of our struggles and our tension, in the midst of deciding whether or not we can have a Congo line in worship, we don't hate each other. We love one another. We're committed to each other's eternal good. That we suffer wrongs afflicted. And in the midst of these pains, the enmity and the strife and the jealousy and the fits of anger and the rivalries, the dissensions, the divisions, the envies, all these things that shouldn't happen, we respond with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. So you see, there's a unity there, even though we disagree in our practice. There's a commitment there to one another. And then the world from the outside looks in and they see us disagreeing. They can see you thinking, I am dead wrong. And yet they see me loving you and you loving me. And then we're one still. We're still one through the midst of that. And the world looks and sees us as one, and they believe that the Father has sent the Son into the world. And truth is not compromised. And at the same time, love is not compromised. For our next step, each person in each group, we see each person in each group, them, they, and us, are under one Father. We are under one God. Ephesians 4:4-6, there is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. See, we have our battles. And as a parent, and many of you can relate to this idea, what hurts more than seeing your kids hurting each other? It's a terrible place. It's a terrible thing to see. It grieves us to our very core. And yet we look at ourselves and we see the ways that we fight and we devour one another. In our own households, in our own congregations, between congregations, in our presbyteries, in our denomination, and dare I say, broader than that. There's a love and a commitment that comes from being brothers and sisters under God Himself. Now, no, it's not easy. Anybody here that has brothers or sisters knows that it's not easy. And yet it grieves the very Spirit of God when we hate each other, when we devour one another, where we don't treat one another with the respect that a child of light deserves. And it helps when we see that it's not us versus them. It's not the position we're in. It's us versus us. It's them versus our old man. Us versus their old man. But it's us working and loving and coming together to the consensus according to the mind of Christ Jesus. We were trained up as tigers and we were trained up as yellow jackets. That's not who we are. We've been made into one people and we've been called by our Father. You have been called by your Heavenly Father to love one another, committed to each other's good. Now we look and we see what we have and the things that we have been given. We have been given gifts for the building up of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:7. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. In Ephesians 4:16, Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. That's some idea there. No matter what you think of me, no matter how goofed up you think my thinking is, no matter what mistakes I have made or continue to make, Christ will use me as a joint to work and build the kingdom. Every they, every them that you take issue with, Christ does the same thing there. He's put us together on purpose. Those of you who are struggling in your marriage, oftentimes we think, oh, I made such a mistake when I married that person. It wasn't a mistake. God put you together to make you more like Christ. Oh, such a mistake to call that elder. God put you together. He made you a session together. To work together, to make you more like Christ, to build the church. Oh, we never should have ordained that guy. Well, maybe not. But here we are. Christ has put us together. He has made us together. And the work that we do together builds up the body of Christ. Whatever pains come through it, whatever sorrows come from it, whatever tensions we are facing in it, Christ is supplying those tensions to build us up as the body of Christ, the kingdom of heaven in this broken and sick and fallen world, so that as we are a broken and sick people, we heal together. We labor together. We love one another so that the world looks and sees. Now as we do this, we cling to the truth. Ephesians 4:14. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. We have that. We face that. We face it as a denomination. Craftiness and deceitful scheming. People making their little plans and making their moves and doing just dreadful things to get their own way. We face that. But we see here in Scripture, it's by the way that we respond to those problems and those trials and those tensions that we display love for the world. Now, our standard, of course, isn't our own plans or our own desires, but our standard is the truth. In John 17:17, Jesus speaking to the Father says, "Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth." Ephesians 2:19-22. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being our cornerstone. You're in a good place. You are in a very good place. As I said, I came from a place where everyone did what was right in their own sight, and whatever anything whispered into someone's ear, they believed that God had spoken to them, and that was the new standard for the church. That is a terrible place to be. But you have been put into a place where the Scripture has been carefully examined and carefully is being applied to every area of life. You are in a beautiful place where the Word of God is held in the highest regard. And it is our peace and it is our standard. So, fellow citizens with the saints and are members of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together. You hear that? You're being fitted together. They and them are not people on the other side of a wall. They and them are people that you are being fitted together with. That we would work and we would labor and we would love. In whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple of the Lord. In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So where does this leave us? What do? Well, we speak the truth. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. Again, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. And here we see the opposite of that. The opposite of being tossed here and there by every wind of doctrine. The opposite of being tossed here and there by deceitful scheming. And the opposite of that is, but speaking the truth in love. We're not called to silence. We are not called to be passive. We are not called to embrace whatever anyone brings along. But we're called to stand in truth. And this is the place in which we grow. This is the place in which we have unity in the truth of the Scripture. This brings us to our final move. Build the church in love. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. I hope you can see that. I'm an artist. I see people on the waves being knocked here and knocked there. If you've ever seen a child or someone that's not that graceful in the ocean, you can get the picture. Knocked here. Knocked there. Carried about by every wind of doctrine. No foundation, just blown around from one deceitful thought to another. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working, of each individual part, which causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So, in love. Growing up in love. That doesn't mean you like me. That doesn't mean you have necessarily have warm, squishy feelings towards me. It does mean you're committed to my eternal good. Doesn't mean I always like you. Doesn't mean I always feel warmly towards you. It does mean that I am committed to your eternal good. That we're committed to the church, the body of Christ, that we are committed to Christ Himself and seeing His purpose fulfilled in this world. The Scripture tells us that as we are one, the world will look and see us. And then they will believe that the Father has sent the Son. Look at your heart. See who they are. Them. Those who may have wronged you. I won't cast that aside. That may be the reality. Christ suffered too. He's known the same pain. He sympathizes with you. And we have to forgive. As we have been forgiven. The way that He has loved us, we are to love one another. Committed to each other. Committed to one another's healing. committed to truth, committed to growing in grace, committed to being this testimony for the world to see. So where do you need to repent? Where do you need to conform your mind to the mind of Christ? Where do you need to seek forgiveness? Where do you need to speak the truth? Commit yourself to this. Commit yourself to this course. Commit yourself to following Christ Jesus. And diligently preserve, maintain, and pursue the unity of the bride of Christ. Pray with me. God, forgive us for our sins against our neighbors, for keeping record of wrong, for isolating ourselves and separating joints. Grant us peace and repentance and reconciliation, that we will indeed be one, so that the world will look and see and know that you have sent your Son. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.